A lot of people, 800 people, 1,000 people, depending on who was counting, arrived there early at Royal Randwick.
Which
on
count
Saturday
was reliable?
Morning.
Apparently, Ray Thomas suggested 700.
Yeah.
ABC Radio was saying 1,000.
I gave 1,000.
Okay.
I don't know who was doing the count. Maybe the ABC probably had the Roosters statistician doing the counting out there at Royal Ramp. It would have been 5,000, maybe 10,000 people there. But anyway, good to see so many people get out there, and Hugh Bowman and Chris Waller give of their time, and Winks look pretty impressive. All systems go. Adam Pengelly joins us. G'day, Adam.
Morning, TK. Morning, Jimmy.
How many were there, Adam?
Don't know, Jimmy, but put it this way, a lot. Probably more than you'll ever see for a track work or exhibition galloping in Sydney. So it's positive to get a lot of people out there for a bit of a breakfast and a bit of a look at Winks. I think everyone realised that time's counting, time's ticking on Winks being in the racetrack.
Yeah.
So going to make the most of every last opportunity. She looked pretty good in that little workout on Saturday morning, just working with a stablemate, Eggtart, just at Royal Randwick there. And it's all systems go for the Apollo Stakes this Saturday. And all the hype and the build-up. I don't know who's going to be in this field on the weekend, guys, in terms of rivals. And I use the term rivals very loosely, obviously. I think Happy Crapper's probably going to be there. But I think Chris Waller probably nominate a few stablemates. I've seen that Gerald Ryan's now backtrack on plans to take Trapeze Artist to the Apollo Stakes. We did have a Lavendi who was sort of targeted for the race, but unfortunately broke down that barrier trial a couple of weeks ago. So I'm tipping it'll be a very, very small field for the Apollo Stakes on the weekend. But if you get a chance, get out there and see Winks.
Yeah, Hartner will be there. Happy Clapper will be there. Winks will be there, and Chris will make sure
that
a few
people
others
will
there.
Be there. Yeah.
Well, we're bringing back all our old favourites for a farewell tour. Hartnell's coming back, and Happy Clapper. All these horses that have taken on the most. So, yeah, we could hopefully get a sort of a competitive field, but I think it'll probably be we struggle to get each way betting. I reckon on Saturday.
Yeah, we described it as a life changer for Richard Litt on Saturday with Castelvecchio. Apparently the horse ate up well the night after the race and the morning on the Sunday morning as well. This was a surprise, but still hasn't qualified for the Golden Slipper. $15 in the market presently at tab.com.au.
Yeah, he's going to do a lot of work to qualify for the Golden Slipper as well, Jimmy. If they want to go down that path, I think it's probably doubtful they'll look towards a slipper. They might look towards a race like the size Podgy Stakes, which is the second leg of the Triple Crown, because as we know, he's won two races now, but obviously that English Millennium didn't count towards prize money for Golden Slipper on the weekend. So basically, all he's got is a Canterbury Friday night win, which is basically at midweek prize money level. So he's going to definitely have to run again and win if he wants to get in the sliver. But to be honest, the way he's racing at the moment, Jimmy, I would suggest he's probably more suited to the 1,400 metres of the size Podgy Stakes. So they can maybe look for a bridging run before they get to that race. Maybe the Pago Pago or even the Todman a couple of weeks out from the slipper and then head into the size Podgy Stakes, because it's going to be very difficult for him to qualify for the Golden Slipper at this stage. But as you mentioned, Jimmy, what a great story for Richard Litt.
It's
a fantastic story. He's only got a small team in work there at Warwick Farm, been training for a few years. He mentioned on Saturday that he trained his first winner 3 years ago virtually to the day at the Braidwood Picnic Races. And then on the weekend, he's training the winner of a $2 million race. So a huge thrill for him. And he's actually quite good friends with Chloe Esposito, the pentathlete who won the Olympic gold medal at Rio. And she was there on the weekend in the mounting yard and celebrating with him. So fantastic news for Richard. A great feel-good story for racing in Sydney.
I think we see Tassort step out at the barrier trials later on today or later on this morning. We'll be covering that on Punters Post-Mortem. So we look forward to that.
Yeah, he's trying this morning, TK. So how about Godolphin and their two-year-old? It's just incredible. They won the two-year-old race in the Lonro Plate with Bivouac at Warwick Farm on the weekend. Lyre won the Phillies division in the Blue Diamond Prelude. So, geez, James Cummings got a lot of good two-year-olds to choose from at the moment.
I think Darren Beebin quipped after that race too with tongue-in-cheek. Where's Bivouac sit for the Godolphin two-year-olds? He said, top 10.
He might not even be top 10, TK. That's the scary thing. But James is going to have a lot of fun with these big two-year-old races in the coming weeks.
Tony McAvoy shocks in the All Stakes with Manuel.
Who saw this coming, Jimmy?
No.
Certainly not I. The first group won of the Autumn Carnival down there in Melbourne. All the talk was about the big headline horses. We had Kemantari and Land of Plenty and Brave Smash, obviously. Brave Smash was great, I thought. But Manuel just, or D'Argento was there as well, obviously. And then Manuel just leads them up and just keeps kicking. So I don't know what to take out of this race at this stage. I think the form might be, a little interesting to watch in the coming weeks. But, great for Tony McAvoy to have a big Group 1 win with Manuel. And we'll see how these horses progress in the coming weeks.
Mm. Well, someone saw it coming. It was 31s into 21. And the people who love 40 Towers would have been on it, Manuel.
Okay.
So Now, the All-Star Mile, how's it shaping up? I know Urban Ruler's like leading the votes by 1,000 miles.
And he just led the ambulance home on the weekend, TK. I don't know if you saw him up there in Brisbane at Doom, and he resumed in an open handicap, and he only beat one horse home. So we've got a week to go in voting. Urban Ruler's definitely going to be in the field. He's still leading the votes. He's neck and neck with the Autumn Summer. They're miles ahead of everything else. I don't know what to make of that first up run on the weekend at Doom, but he struggled. So he'll be in the All-Star Mile. He'll be probably starting at 200-1 if he continues his form from what he showed on the weekend. But, yeah, only a week to go with the voting. Elise is just on the cusp of the top 10 at the moment. She's not quite in. I don't think it really matters. She'll get a wild card spot.
Right.
So a week to go at the moment to vote for the All-Star Mile, and Urban Rule is going to have to drastically improve his form if he wants to be any chance of running in the top half of the field in that All-Star Mile.
So that's a limitation of the concept, right?
Well, this is the problem, Jimmy, isn't it? Like, it's great that you engage the public and have a public voting contest, but
yes,
Australia with these syndications and so many people owning horses, if you run a pretty savvy social media campaign or get people to vote for your horse, the way this field's shutting up at the moment, half the field's going to start at least 50-1, probably 100-1, because there's going to have absolutely no chance of winning the race. So I don't think the balance is going to be quite right this year, to be honest. We're probably going to, the wild cards obviously be all high-class horses. There's going to be a couple of other horses in the top 10 who are, you know, Group 1 perform, but basically, most of the top 10 of horses are just, you know, barely stakes level, probably, you know, open handicap, you know, class 6 sort of horses. So I think that's a big issue. My personal opinion is I don't necessarily want to see horses like that racing in a $5 million race.
Yeah.
I respect the fact that their owners have done nothing wrong and have just voted for them to get into the race and drummed up support. But, yeah, I'm not quite sure whether the balance is going to be right for this first year.
No, there's only the 4 wild cards. You'll see that massaged, I think, after year number 1. Good on you, Adam.
Thanks, boys. You enjoy your day.